representing Team Resale, a round of applause for Grace Tan and Joanne Love. Your moderator for tonight, and our co-founder and CEO of Property Lim Brothers, put your hands together to welcome Melvin Lim!
Test, test, test. All right. Very good evening to everybody. Welcome to our first ever PRB Live debate. Thanks for being here. Give yourself a round of applause for being here. Great. Also, I want to say hi to all our audiences online on our webinar. I think from this camera, they should be able to see all our live audience. Maybe for our live audience, just a wave to friends. We have about 370 of them right there on Zoom right now. Maybe just give them a wave and high five over there. Just this camera. All right, great. Okay, so thank you for coming down for our first live debate. I think the introduction just now really seems like a boxing match that is going to happen. So we have our very talented inside sales team consultants with us, and of course, I think you have seen them in some of our home tours as well as videos on ago. So by the way, I just want to thank everybody for spending your Friday with us. This is the first time we are doing this. Thank you for coming down to support us. And I want to kickstart today's segment just to give an introduction about how we're going to conduct this live debate. So what's going to happen later is that each of the team, Team BTO and Team Resale, they will have 10 minutes of opening statement. And I think just now you have already seen the QR code for a live poll, because we're very interested to know before you came, what is your natural preference? Is your natural preference towards BTO, or is your natural preference towards resale? And for the text of today's live debate, we're gonna have a couple in terms of profiling. And we're gonna showcase what is the profile for tonight's debate. And this profile, of course, is crafted in a manner that will be fair. So maybe let's have the couple profile being cast on the screen so that our audience can have a look. So for all our audiences that is at home, if you have not taken part in the poll, you can scan a QR code right now and give your choice, a natural tendency towards BTO or resale. And for today's debate, what's going to happen is that the two teams will be discussing the option based on this couple profile. So it's a young couple, both 27 years old, graduated, started working for a couple of years. They're doing well in their jobs, looking to get married. They're in the decision-making phase, and they are thinking in the dilemma because they can afford both BTO or resale. And they're just thinking which one is better for them. And later on, there will also be a very interesting segment because we want to have our audiences at home and here to participate, ask questions. So there's going to be a QR code that you can ask questions. We'll pick a couple of questions. We'll throw over to the two teams to answer towards the end. And last but not least, today, you will decide who is the team. Not me, not our guys at the back. It will be basically based on the poll by our audiences for the final vote. All right? So to kickstart, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to introduce a little bit on our presenters. All right? So we have Team BTO. Give them a round of applause. So Team BTO is Sebastian, Lyndon. Both of them are from our inside sales team. They are our consultants. And of course, we also have Team Resale. Give them a round of applause. So we have Grace and Joanne, also our inside sales team consultants. So also just a brief, their positioning today is for really the entertainment purposes of and also educational purposes of BTO and resale. It doesn't mean that their own personal decision is based on BTO and resale, because our consultants are all very holistic. they are able to consult through a wide array of properties, whether BTO, resale, condos, landed, commercial properties. And usually when they meet clients, it's really based on our clients' needs and portfolio planning. So today, of course, for this fun event, they will have to take a position. Whether is it their personal choice or their personal properties, we will keep that confidential, but they will take a very holistic approach to defend BTO or resale. And I also like to share with the audiences that later towards the Q&A segment, please participate because we have very short time frame at the end. And then we'll pick a couple of questions then. So without further ado, I would like to invite Team BTO to start first with their opening statement. They have each 10 minutes. And also just to take note, our PLB live debate is a bit different because traditional debate, usually they don't have like a screen and stuff like that. But we love to be visual because we do a lot of home tours and stuff like that, right? So I think visual will be good. So without further ado, I also want to, sorry, a bit low solo, okay. Lastly, remind our presenters, right, that my role is also to be very strict on the timing. So you will hear one ding when we have 1 minute left. You will then hear two dings when your time is up. And later, as we move on to the final two rounds of rebuttal, we will talk about money and we'll talk about opportunities. All right? So let's welcome Team BTO.
So,
sit, yeah, up to you.
Yeah, most likely we'll just sit here. So hi everyone, my name is Lyndon, and this is my partner in crime, Sebastian. So we'll be representing Team BTO. Firstly, I just want to thank you all for coming down on a Friday night, especially to take your time out to come and share with us and also entertain us in this webinar series. So I understand that many of you all here are stuck in a dilemma, whether is it BTO or resale. Ultimately, what is your next property goal? So in this segment, we are going to be addressing that because ultimately, whether when you upgrade to a bigger space or moving into the private property market, you will need liquidity in your asset. So that is what we are going to address. You cannot just use your entire CPF to pay off everything because you still need the cash in it. And then also, in today's debate, we'll be touching on some of the softer points like in BTO, what is really, as a person going in, are you feeling the kampong spirit? Is it nearby? Is it accessible in terms of your amenities and eateries? Yeah. So this is what we're going to share, and I hope that at the end of this debate, you would have a better understanding on your next decision. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll also be talking about, in terms of your consideration for your HDB journey, what are you investing? So for us, I think what we are investing is three things: money, opportunity, and time. So when you invest your money, obviously you need to think of what's your cost of entry, what's the cost of sustaining the mortgage for your HDB, be it a $1 million HDB or maybe something on the more outside region, you know, more comfortable budget. What is also your renovation cost, and if there's any repair cost, if you do decide to go for a resale HDB. And for opportunity-wise, I think generally we are all having that dilemma whether you should go for BTO or resale because of the longer build time, the longer runway that you have to commit to your BTO, which is usually 9 to 10 years, inclusive of the build time and the MOP period. With this longer runway, I think what we need to understand is what do you stand to gain or what do you stand to lose in this entire time period so that you can make meaningful decisions through the entire period. And lastly, time being the most important factor because everybody's real estate runway is relatively short. You only get 3 to 4 cycles in terms of your whole real estate cycle because of the age that you probably go up to 65 years old, and that is the maximum you can borrow up till. So whether you consider entering the BTO or HDB, a minimum commitment period of 5 years is required. And I think the biggest fear is that if you invest this time, you do not get what you want to achieve out of this time investment, which is very important. So through our sharing today, I think what we want to do is share more insights and give your value to take away. So at the end of the day, you can have that firm decision whether you go for a BTO or resale. And with that, I just want to leave you with one more thing. A good investment has good fundamentals and stable growth opportunities. An investment without these factors is a gamble. So yeah, that's our opening statement.
Thank you. Just a reminder, because you have 10 minutes, you want to utilize, you have 6 minutes 49 seconds, and later on, I think you're going to have very little time for your next two openings. Do you all want to consider talking about some things right here?
No, I think ultimately we are good. We have very strong points, like what Sebastian said, a good fundamental and understanding of it doesn't need to be super long or so, right? Don't you agree?
Okay. All right, so if that's the case, then we'll move on to Team Resale. Let's welcome Team Resale's opening statement.
Hi, everyone. I'll just stand.
Capital Y, yeah.
Yeah. I'll just stand so I can see everyone better, and also we can have a good conversation tonight. Welcome for being here. Welcome and thank you for being here. We're very excited to host you. Very interesting topic today, BTO versus resale. I think a lot of friends, we've discussed this. It's a topic that's on our mind as well. And today, Joanne and myself, we are on CAM Resale. Okay, we firmly believe in HDB resale properties, and today we're going to share with you why. All right, so maybe I can begin. Is there a marker?
Yeah, on left inside.
Yes, okay. Okay, let me first share with you the secret of retirement for the generation before us. I think retirement is a goal that we all aspire towards, you know, sooner rather than later. And the previous generations, they have really capitalized on HDB properties to achieve this. Okay, so in the past, if we look at, you know, back in maybe 2006, 2007, and the years leading up to 2014. Later, I'll tell you why these years are very specific milestones in our entire public property kind of journey. Okay, so back in, let's say, back in the previous generation, if you were to buy a BTO property, okay, so you were to buy a BTO property maybe for 200K, 300K, you wait the 4 years, okay, for your BTO to build, and then you collect your keys. It's easy in the past, okay, to see maybe 200K or 300K kind of appreciation. BTO properties, traditionally fantastic for your first home kind of investment and fantastic for growth. From this, what our previous generations would kind of do is that they'll take this lump sum when they sell off their BTO properties, they see an appreciation. They use this amount of money and they put it in a down payment for their condo. Okay? And then once they put it in the down payment for the condo, they live there, they ride on the amazing appreciation that this condo can bring. And eventually, when they reach maybe 55, they sell off this condo and they move back into a 3-room HDB or a 4-room HDB, as you wish. This model has worked fantastically. Because why? When it appreciates, and then when your BTO appreciates and you're able to use this lump sum to put into your condo property, you are in an asset class that has that is limited in terms of the supply. Okay, so we'll dive a little bit more into this. And eventually, when their condo property appreciates much faster than their HDB would have, eventually when they sell it off, they have a lump sum, pay off their HDB, and they still have an amount of money for retirement. Okay, so this is kind of what we have heard. Anybody has heard stories like this before? Of your, you know, parents or parents' generation, yeah? And it's also why I hear a lot of my friends' parents kind of tell them that this is the way to go, which is why a lot of my friends want to go the BTO route. Okay, so, yeah, next. All right, if we were to look at the HDB pricing increase over the past years, we can see two kind of very sharp increases from the years of 2006 all the way to 2014, and then from the years of 2021 to 2023. Now, of course, anyone can, you know, kind of tell me what are the what is this very steep appreciation? What is the cause of it? Yes, the COVID pandemic, absolutely. And then for this period, when HDB prices were seeing a very healthy increase, I'm actually more curious about this part. Why is there a tapering of prices, and why is there a stagnation of the price in the market? What did the government actually do? Okay, so go next. Eh? There should be a. Okay, sorry. So back in 2014, there was an introduction of, you know, you are not able to know the valuation of the price before you put in your offer. So valuation has to be done after you put in your offer. Now, this really shaped the market at that time. The introduction of MSR as well, 30% of your total income, kept and stabilized the price. Now, today, okay, with the increase in the COVID pandemic, what is happening is that the government is again taking measures to stable the prices. The introduction of BTO projects with 150 projects to be built at the same time by 2025 is a very clear move by the government towards introducing more supply to stabilize the BTO prices. Okay? So if you were to look at it, what is a key takeaway from this segment is then, we have to ask ourselves, are HDB properties, do they function as a, you know, kind of a way that we want to invest it as our sole property and to see it as a wealth-growing kind of vehicle, or do we see it as a stepping stone for asset progression? Okay, if you look at Singapore's property market, HDBs and resales, we have HDBs make up 75% of the entire housing stock. And then for condos, non-landed private properties are at 21%, and the landed market makes up 4%. What is to be, you know, kind of learned or known from this is that we can no longer look at HDBs as an asset that we want to make a lot of money out of, but basically the government will always try to introduce policies to keep the pricing stable because it will always be the first step into housing, into owning a house in Singapore. Our housing ownership rate is 89%, one of the highest in the world. And it is because of our public housing that allows that. So logically speaking, there will never be a time where the government will allow the HDB prices to grow at such a rate that it is no longer affordable for Singaporeans. All right, so looking at HDBs and looking at BTOs, we understand that supply always comes in to meet demand to moderate prices. And this is what we call an elastic supply. Okay, so in understanding real estate, we talk about elastic supplies and inelastic supplies. So elastic supplies are when, okay, demand is getting very high, new supply will constantly be introduced. Every time there's high demand, prices are increasing, supply will flood in, and instantly when this supply floods in, prices are brought down. Okay, what we call something like a very inelastic supply are landed properties. There are only 73,000 kind of landed stock in Singapore today, right? And this stock will not increase anymore. So something like that asset class we call an inelastic supply. So looking at HDB as an inelastic supply, we understand that supply increases to meet demand, and therefore your price increase will always be slow. Now, I think everyone sitting here today, you know, okay, so before I move on to what you want to sell, I think one very key point is that everybody sitting here today, probably, you know, you have, I think you are spending your Friday night here with us, not for fun, right? You must have a certain level of interest in real estate. You must have a certain level of passion for accumulating wealth or progression in your life. Therefore, you know, today's conversation, as the resale team comes to speak, we'll be talking more about opportunities as well. Opportunities that you choose when you choose a resale HDB versus a BTO flat. Opportunities that you give up when you choose a BTO flat over a resale property. Of course, we try to keep this generic. We try to understand that there are different preferences in life as well. But one very important thing, an opportunity that we want to highlight, is your opportunity to be able to progress in your life. This, we don't want you to regard this as, you know, just a pure debate or a pure kind of session where you are thinking about that first choice. We also want you to think about your future choice. You know, so what about when you want to sell? Right, so looking at, you know, the amount of BTOs that will be introduced, the sheer amount of stock that is brought into the market every day, we really question if, you know, at the end of the day when you want to sell, for example, looking at this plot in Canberra, when you MOP, there are so many other properties reaching its MOP as well. Will you really be able to get that that huge profit that you want, you know, to have the option to progress? Now, one last thing, I only have a minute left. So one last thing before I kind of round up is that today, you know, when Joanne and I come up and speak, maybe we'll be talking about, you know, resale properties on its own. We'll also be talking about the option to upgrade, the option to sell. Now, we don't want to mistake it as, you know, we are coming up here to share about that you have to sell a HDB or you have to buy a condo. That is not our intention. Our intention is to give you the option should you wish to. Because we believe that there are few things that are more important than money. There are few things that are more important in your life than just seeing profit. Some of it has to do with being able to choose for yourself and your family what do you actually want to do. Okay, I have 10 seconds left, so yeah, I'll just...
Thank you. Thank you, Team Resale. Thanks, Grace. So thank you, Team BTO, for your opening statement. So just a quick, our audiences at home as well as live here, we're going to show you the QR code right now. Because as you hear Team BTO and Resale on their opening statements, probably you will have some questions in your mind that you want to ask later. And later on, of course, based on our time limit, we'll pick a couple of questions and I will put across to both teams for them to answer for you. But meantime, please remember to scan the QR code that you're going to see on screen. Just a quick recap. Of course, I think Team BTO, they started confidently with your opening statement. I think probably you have a lot of meat later to share with the audiences. And just a quick recap. What Team BTO said is that they're going to focus on money, opportunity, time, and probably some intangible factors. You mentioned like kampong spirit in terms of why people always love to go for BTO. It's brand new and things like that. And then Team Resale... came up with, of course, I think the opening part on the recap of what Grace shared was that traditionally during our, probably my baby boomers, and of course, I think even in the last 15 years, most of the time, BTO has been positioned, and I think positioned in a fashion whereby it's sort of like a first pot of gold for a lot of young couples. And Grace, the portion about options on the later part of your life stage, opportunities, asset progression, and you also mentioned about elastic supply. So that's the recap for both teams. And as we move on to the second segment, I think this is a very interesting segment because we have put up two main pivots for this debate. Number one, the first round, we're going to just focus about money. And when we talk about money, we're talking about finances, anything related to numbers, your thinking in terms of entry and exit, which one probably has more chance to see more cash proceeds or more CPF proceeds at the end. We're going to talk about grants. We're going to talk about everything about numbers. And then round two, we're going to talk about everything about time and opportunity. So each team will have 15 minutes to talk about money relating to buying and selling. And then they will also have each 5 minutes to rebut the other team. The first team that will come up will be Team BTO. So they will start off with round 1A. They will have 15 minutes. And Team BTO, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to stand and walk around or sit?
Yeah.
I suggest that you walk around. Because the other team already walk around already. You don't walk around, you sure lose one.
It's like a debate, ma. So like when we watch, you know, Balakrishnan and all, they all seated down.
Yeah, but
so we were we thought want to maintain the.
Sure. Of course.
But
of course,
I guess not. All rules are out.
You are also free to use the screen, write on the screen and stuff like that to illustrate. So 15 minutes, the time is yours, and you're free to pass around the mic to one another to banter as well.
Yeah.
And let's welcome Team BTO. All right.
Okay. So at least now I know I can use this area to share more with you all because we wanted to be more reserved, I would say. So first thing is always about money. Who here feels that money is the most important thing or profit is the most important thing? Okay. Just a show of hands, profit when you buy a house. but majority of y'all won't raise your hands lah. So who feels that profit is the most important thing? I need y'all to put your hands down. That's right, okay? So we're going to talk about profit, and we're going to address one point. Like what Grace over here mentioned, would the oversupply diminish the profit? Okay, so let's talk about profitability. So we brought out some case studies for you to compare. Okay, for the first one, we are looking at Anchorvale Fields. Anyone here staying in Sengkang? Lower your hands. Okay, I just saw. Well, a lot of y'all staying in Sengkang, huh? Okay, so for the forum, they did purchase from 267, and ultimately, after 5 years, they sold it at 590. We are looking at an average profit of 300,000, time spent 9 years, because you got to wait for it to build, and an annualized gain of 33,000. Okay, this is just in the OCR region, that means the outskirts of Singapore. My next slide will be talking about a comparison within the RCR. In Telok Blangah, we saw average profit of 350K, even though they did purchase at 445, but this was what they sold at. Okay, the next one is also on something in the RCR, but closer towards our heart, where, you know, we all grew up in Toa Payoh, Bishan, you know, that heartland area, but everyone loved. They also saw the same average profit, 400,000 over 10 years, an annualized gain of 40,000, despite the wait time. So this is what BTO brings you. Let me re-emphasize. This is what you profit when you buy a BTO. But of course, Grace said, very important time frame, 2006 to 2014, 2021 to 2023. These were the big jumps. Okay, and then she showed a very interesting chart of the stagnation of BTO prices. So I got to be fair, I need to defend myself. So let's look towards post-COVID. So COVID happened back in 2019. I would say early 2020, but we don't want to wander to there. So if they did happen back in 2019, let's look at some of those that MOP then. So pre-COVID, this area, Waterfront Town Team Punggol 21, okay, it's at Punggol Place. They bought it at 247. They sold it in 2020 to 2019. They still saw a profit of 200,000. Of course, COVID did bring up the price, but they saw that profit of 200,000. This is in Punggol. The next slide will be in Telok Blangah Towers. They still saw a profit of 400,000. So at this point in time, right, I want to rest my case is that despite what we see in the resale price index, we have to understand that it is very specific. That's why as consultants, we need to dive into the specific area that you're staying at, that you are looking to choose, whether will it bring about a profit for you. But the bottom line is that who here doesn't want to make 200,000 in profit on your house? Let me bring up another point also. So for the resale, once we look at resale, I need to compare BTO versus resale. So I'll talk for the resale side. Okay, if we look pre-COVID, if you had bought a resale back in 2013, 2012, 10 to 12 floor, you bought it at 538. After staying 5 years, serving your MOP in 2018, 2019, maybe about 6 years, you want to sell, you want to upgrade, you make a loss. 420,000 for a 10 to 12 floor, 10 to 12 floor. Numbers don't lie. Transactions always stay the same. Of course, due to the COVID bump, they had increased about 100,000, 150,000 odd from when they purchased 538, 578, about 50,000 increase. But that was over a span of 10 years once you buy into a resale. But of course, this is not saying that resale is a bad buy. It really depends on where you buy. But we want today we are here to discuss between BTO or resale. So I'm saying that BTO definitely has a profit. For the next slide also, in terms of that area that is more popular, what the government would choose as PLH now, prime land, or prime housing, or even plus housing. Bought back in 2013 at 835, if they serve their 5 years MOP, they were sold at 813. So if they sell after 5 years, this is the profit that you gain. If they had waited for the COVID bump, which of course everyone here would rather not have had COVID. If they had COVID, they earn about 100,000. That's staying over 10 years. So over 10 years, your annualized gain is only 10,000. Just before I end off and I pass it to my next partner, I also want to bring up what Grace mentioned, Canberra. Canberra, will there be an oversupply once it comes onto the market? Just now, the resale team did show a lot of slides, 2025, 2023, 2024, MOP, so many. But I don't think I'm able to pull out. We can take it offline later also to show you that they did sell at 500 plus thousand. And the purchase price of East Canberra was at 236,000. So that was a profit of close to 250,000 average out. So this, I rest my case on profitability for BTOs, and I'll hand it over to Sebastian.
Yeah, no worries.
Do speed up if you have a lot of things to talk about. All right.
Okay. So where's my slide? Ah, okay, great. So the one thing why BTO still have that profitability drive is this thing called the double positive effect. So I think Grace just now earlier brought up the RPI, the resale price index. Who benefits the most from the resale price index? It is not resale buyers. Resale buyers, they get to benefit a bit. If, let's say, the market moves up in tandem, everyone benefits. But if the market is stagnant, actually, the person that benefits the most with the increase in the resale price index are BTO buyers. Because when they resell the market, they are selling a subsidized product. And when they go to a resale market, they are able to command a higher premium because of the shorter supply. So for the positive number two, is you didn't read this wrong. The next positive is resale grants. So why I buy BTO, but I got resale grants? So we'll talk about that in a later slide, but let me just get to the next point first. So subsidized entry cost. This is one of the latest HDB. I can't divulge which particular one it is. Central area, near to MRT. This is a prime location housing flat model. Pricing, as you can see, ranges from about 560 to 705 for the same stack. Top floor, obviously, are going about 700,000. So this, you have to stay 10 years for this, and then, of course, you have the 6 years, 5 to 6 years build time. You're going to invest 16 years. But your entry cost is at 700,000. Now, this is Ghim-Moh Edge. So Ghim-Moh Edge recently MOP'd. Not sure if anybody stays here. It's a very nice estate. If you stay on a high floor, you're going to overlook the Holland Sinai area all the way up to Bukit Timah Hill. The view is amazing. You get a top floor. But the price is also equally as amazing. It's at 1 million to 1.2 million asking for a four-room flat right now. Of course, you have cheaper options, 868,000 to 899,000. So these people decided that, okay, maybe I'm at a lower floor, my buy-in is probably around 500,000, I can make a bit lesser at 300,000. But these people, they will want to make 500,000. So of course, there's nothing wrong, because you invested the time to wait for the build time, maybe you're renting at that point in time, all this is cost for you in order to own this BTO, so you need to realize some profits from it. Then we come and talk about the financing interest costs. So had you enter at a resale project, so say you go for a 650,000 resale project in Anchorvale, you're going to be looking at 2.6% interest because that's what HDB gives you, 0.1% above the OA rate. Your total interest cost for your first year is about 13,000. 13,000, that's the difference between a BTO, let's say you can get it at the BTO price, 350,000, you get a brand new flat. You got a Q number, congratulations. Get a brand new flat, 350,000. Then your entry cost and your financing cost will be almost half. So you can see this is 13,000 in interest just on the first year. A BTO will only cost you 7,000. Of course, the price is lower. Naturally, the interest cost is lower. But what does that translate to is actually if you have the extra $500, $600 a month, that's petrol for you. Petrol is very expensive these days. You have your childcare, especially if you're having a baby. Anybody that is having a dragon baby next year, congratulations to you. Then, of course, date nights. You work so hard for the house. You got to enjoy the life you have together as well. That will also translate to 6,000 a year. 6,000 a year, I think, is a family holiday already, or you can even get a helper or maid. So this one would be for the financing cost on maybe a prime location housing. The lower one would be the BTO price, 700,000, as I just showed you earlier on. The higher one would be probably what they want to resell it at. Maybe minimally, I want to look at $1 million. Financing for the $1 million one is about 20,000. The BTO one is at 14,000. So interestingly enough, even though you buy a 700,000 and $1 million home, the interest cost difference is still about 6,000 a year. It is the same as if you were to buy a 650,000 flat versus a 350,000 BTO. So that's just because of the difference in quantum. So my next point is, why is there a double positive? Why do I say that the BTO people will gain the most from the resale grants and not the resale people gaining the most from resale grants? Because most often, the people forget that resale grants come to you. It's come to you as an additional top-up of grants to you in your CPF. But the person actualizing the grants in cash is the BTO seller. So when you go and buy from the BTO seller, after the BTO owner finishes the MOP and I sell it back to the market, the grant in $80,000, you're paying me extra for my profit and I'm actualizing it in cash. So between that, who likes to hold cash and who likes to hold CPF? Cash can do so much more. You can invest, reinvest the funds. It will help you with your down payment in the future. CPF will also help you with down payment in the future. But there are certain things that you need to pay for in cash. So the other thing is that for BTO buyers, they will also have the opportunity to maximize the grants that they can get. So had you go in earlier, say 20, 23 years old, 24 years old, maybe early career, you start out at 5,500 kind of income, combined income, and versus if you were to come in at a resale opportunity, you're already maybe mid-career, you're earning a bit more, which is good for you. Next slide. We want to take a look at, this is sort of the May 2023 BTO exercise. We're going to look specifically at Serangoon North Vista. So four-room flats start at 397,000. The resale prices there, HDB already give you an indicative of $635,000 to $830,000. So we're going to average out to $700,000. So in order to sustain these two price quantums, how much do you need to earn? If I were to buy the $390,000 four-room BTO, actually I just need a $310,000 in HDB loan. And that would also mean that my monthly income, I only need $5,500. $5,500 still allows me to get the enhanced housing grant, because for BTO, unfortunately, that is the only grant available to you. But if you go resale, of course, it's still available to you. But the question is, can you get the EHG if you were to go for a resale property? If you were to go for a resale property, 700K, four room, minimally, you need to borrow, you have 80% loan, you need to borrow 560,000. Minimally, you need to earn 10,000. 10,000 is already above the income bracket of the EHG. You are still able to get a HDB loan, but your grants for the four-room HDB resale flat is only maintained at the 80,000 resale flat grant. Okay, and we're going to talk about timeline. I have 36 seconds. Okay, I got to get through this quick. So, of course, we talked about profitability earlier, 300,000, 200,000. Why is that so important? It's because if the eventual goal is to go into a condominium or you want to upgrade into a bigger space, you're going to need a lot more liquid funds. And if, let's say, had you bought in, let's say we wind the clock back at 2013. 2013, if you were to go into a resale and hit five-year MOP, and you bought a condo at 1,000 PSF back then, you will have actually an actualized gain of 360,000 if you sell it in 2023. But in order to actualize this gain, you would need 348,000 in cash and CPF to purchase the unit. So the question is, in 2018, will you have 348,000? Or if I BTO, will I have 452,000 in 2023? So I will just leave you with that. I don't have time anymore.
Thank you. Give Team BTO a round of applause. All right. So let's have round 1B. Let me welcome Team Resale to talk about money, buying and selling. So Joanne, take it away.
Thanks, Melvin. I'll try to keep this part as easy to digest as much as possible because numbers sometimes can get a little bit very critical and anal. I'll try to keep it as easy to understand as possible. Can I have my slides up, please? Is it flashing up already? Yeah, so basically for our part, Team Resale, on numbers, basically two portions. Firstly, we're going to talk about affordability. The second thing, I think similar to what the other team talked about, is also in terms of profitability. Now, firstly, in terms of affordability, we want to think, because a lot of us, you know, even like for my parents, they are also telling us that just go for BTO, because BTO is definitely cheaper. Resale, you won't earn. The first owners have already earned. You won't be able to earn. BTOs are damn cheap. Just go for it. But the question we want to ask ourselves is, whatever that's happening in the past, is that still true today? Are BTOs still really so cheap that it makes resale not worth a consideration at all? Let's take a look at some of the recent BTO launches, and let's look at the pricing. These are all your Bukit Merah mature estate, right? So that's what we will classify as a prime location in today's context. So if you look at your Bukit Merah, for the latest round of launches, here we are comparing all the BTO prices versus your resale to see whether there's a huge premium, huge disparity, which makes sense for you to go for your BTO. BTO, let's just take a look at 4-room. 4-room BTO right now, they're going for about 500 to 700 odd. Again, for your August launch, similarly, 500 to 700 odd. And for your the other plot at Havelock, also 500 to 700. Then let's take a look. If I want to aim for this location, but maybe I don't want to wait so long, if I want to choose the resale option, what is the pricing that I'm looking at? When you take a look at the resale option, actually the pricing, that price premium that we were expecting is actually not that huge compared to what we think it is. When you look at the data, the resale in that area actually hovers between 500 odd to, of course, for your newer flats, your newer, maybe your recently MOP ones, those are going high 900s, right? But the key to take note is that the premium or the difference between your BTO and resale is not as wide as what we think, or it's not as wide as what it used to be in the past. Again, another example, if you look at Central Weave at Ang Mo Kio, their 4-room are also going between 500 to 600. So again, not as cheap as what you think. Next, let's look at Tampines. Tampines right now, this one is also a mature estate, but in terms of today's classification, of course, this is relatively near to the MRT. So in terms of the new BTO sort of classification, then it will likely fall under plus near MRT, but because it's not in your central location, then they're not classified under prime, but still under plus. But the thing is that for prime and plus, you must remember that even after your 10 years MOP, you're not able to rent out the whole unit itself. You have to be staying inside in order to even rent out rooms. Just take a look again at your BTO versus resale kind of pricing. For your 4-room, 300 to 400 odd for your 2021 launch. And then for your 2022 launch, again, take a look. The prices is also very, very close to your resale. So if the prices are so close, why would you want to wait that 4 years of construction, 5 years of MOP, that 9 years altogether in order to get almost like the same price? If I have to wait so long, I would expect that the premium is actually large enough for me to even make some profits as well. And lastly, we talked about prime, we talked about plus. Let's look at what happens if it's a standard. For standard, anything, basically any location that is not within your prime and your plus, it will fall under standard. So for standard, Choa Chu Kang non-mature estate, again, of course, right here, I think the disparity is a little bit more than what you're seeing for your plus and prime. However, it's still not that great as what we're thinking of. So now we know that actually the BTO prices in today's context is actually not as cheap as what we think. Then does it mean that the resale are always out of reach? We shouldn't really consider resale. Let's take a look at what Sebas mentioned also in terms of the resale grants. For resale grants, you can see that for first-time home buyers, you actually stand to gain up to 190K. Of course, here we caveat that this is the maximum up to. Ultimately, it depends on your income bracket, which category you fall under, and whether you meet all this income ceiling or not. Right? And of course, the proximity housing grant depends on whether you are staying near enough to your parents to qualify for this. But assuming you do meet all this, this is actually the grants that you stand to gain. And why is this so important? Because how often do you get the government just giving you a huge sum of money just like that? And mind you, all these are actually liquid funds that goes into your OA. What Sebas mentioned is correct. All these are not cash that they are transferring into your bank account, but all these are actually OA that goes into funding your property purchase. And while you enjoy this grant, when you actually sell your resale, of course, all these grants, whatever CPF you have used, definitely has to go back to your CPF account. But the good thing is that this can still form your down payment for your next property, and having this 190K as a very, very strong support and push for you to upgrade easier to your next property is a very, very strong point for the resale as well. And aside from this, if we take a look as well, knowing that all the BTO prices are as such, let's do a very simple case illustration. For the 4-room Punggol flats resale, what are our options? Even at 700-odd K, we can still get units that are very close to your MRT, firstly, high floor, and also still quite in a good condition. Because a lot of people think, oh, resale is very expensive. If I don't want to spend so much, then maybe my location is not that great, the condition is not so good, or I'm getting a second floor. But looking at a very reasonable budget right here, you are seeing that we are still able to get some very decent units. And why is it important? Because we want to also make the right property selection that gives us that ease to exit in future. So if we just summarize whatever we've seen just now, BTO for standard kind of units, you're seeing HDB being launched, launching the prices at around 300 odd. For the BTO that are near MRT but you cannot rent, those are their plus, around 400 odd based on the latest launch data. And for those prime units near MRT and I cannot rent, we take the example of Central Reef, HDB is already launching it at this kind of pricing. Of course, we saw some 700 odd one. I'm just taking a very conservative number right here. And lastly, you take a look at your resale options. Even at 700K, I can still get a very decent one. Near MRT, important. I don't have to wait. And of course, this is a high floor unit, still good condition. So with this budget, actually, it's almost the same. Even if I take the 100K grant, actually, this is very, very similar, these two type of assets. But here, I actually have to wait a 14 years period. Versus this, I get to sort of exit in 5 years. And then looking at the numbers, this is another important point as well. What I want to draw your attention to is in terms of your down payment, your cash and CPF that's required for your down payment. So if let's say today you are someone who is considering basically between a 4-room BTO or whether do I want to go for a 4-room resale. Just taking these two examples, we know that BTO is definitely cheaper in terms of the launch price, but just have a look at your grants. For resale, assuming you are able to meet your 80K family housing grant for your 4-room flat, your proximity housing grant, as well as your EHG, you will be able to get this. And why this is important, because just take a look at the difference in terms of down payment. It's really almost similar, right, when you compare. Even though the quantum prices are almost double, but in terms of your down payment, it's actually very similar, right? 50K versus your 58K. The other thing that I want to talk about when we look at this slide, the second thing is in terms of your monthly mortgage. Some of the buyers might think that, hey, if I go for resale because the quantum is way higher, I may not be able to afford my monthly mortgage. But assuming, let's say today, based on Melvin's case study, you are at age 27. Let's say you're earning maybe about 4.5K each, yourself and your spouse. With your monthly salary, every month you will already be earning this 2.3 from your monthly salary into your OA contribution, and this can help you offset your monthly mortgage as well. So with your OA contribution from your monthly salary, from both yourself and your spouse, actually your net top-up per month is just at 355. And of course, divided by 2, 177. Very, very affordable and not that stretch that you think about. Again, here, we want to highlight the importance of grants. This is only for first-timers. If you miss this, then that's it. If you have already gone for BTO, then you want to go for a HDB resale again. You're not considered a first-timer. You won't stand to gain all the amount of grants. Liquid funds into your OA, which can be used for your next property purchase, as well as this being a fact that it's an immediate flow of funds. Second thing, I only have 5 minutes left. That is affordability. The next thing I want to talk about is also in terms of profitability. How much can your prime, plus, and standard BTO actually make? So just referencing a simple example, because all these BTO classifications are also new policies that are not yet rolled out. So just looking at some case studies, Pinnacle at Duxton, which is considered to be in a location where we call prime right now, the owners there have already made a windfall in terms of profits of 500 to 600K, right? So you would expect that maybe for my prime next time, if I enter in at maybe 700, 800, if I want to make 500, 600K, maybe I can sell at 1.3, 1.4 million, right? But is that really true? Take a look at this. Right now, what the government is saying is that for all your prime and plus HDB, there is an income ceiling for your buyers, meaning for any buyer who wants to come and purchase my plus and prime in future, their income ceiling is capped at 14K. If your income exceeds 14K, then sorry, you're not eligible to buy my plus and prime. So this is the government policy, but we have to think deeper. What is the implication? The implication with this income ceiling is that it actually caps how much I can sell my plus and prime at. If this is the government regulation, and if it caps my sort of a price, selling price that I want to sell at, then is that really true? Can I still make that 500, 600, 700, 800 on my plus and prime after having waited for 14 years? Can I still make that? It doesn't seem like the case anymore with this sort of government ruling. And we all understand why. This is also to sort of equalize all the different classifications as well. And then the other sort of camp will say that resale cannot make money, right? If today I buy the Punggol HDB at 700K, and if 5 years later, if let's say the economy is really not doing well, I'm not able to sell at a peak, even if I sell at 700K or even 800K, you must remember that you have already earned this amount from your grants. And this, when you sell, it will go back into your OA, which you can still use for your next property purchase. So while on paper, it might seem that your profit is not that high, just take note, with this grant, actually, your initial down payment or initial cost has been greatly, greatly reduced with the government's help and government's push. And that allows you to still make a net gain more than what you see on paper itself. So that is also another important point. Lastly, just to talk about, finish off this point on profitability. Well, you see that, okay, you know, just now Lyndon and Sebas also talked about, certain Whampoa BTO getting 400K, 500K in terms of your sale. That is the profitability of your unit, of that property. But what we want to focus on is the profitability of your action that you take today. While that property you're making, maybe for resale, right? You're making this 100 or 200 over K. But what this allows you is that freedom to actually exit if you want to, and also to take your next property chance. The other reason why we want to talk about profitability of your action today, if let's say today you have to go for a resale, that means that you have a shorter sort of a runway, you're not locked down for so long, you are able to make your next move for your next condo. Let's have a look. If you were in this position right now, and you are at 27 years old today, you're earning this income based on an annualized wage increment of 10% per year. Of course, we all know that for a lot of youth these days, the age of 25 to 45 is actually your peak career progression and income progression growth, right? That's where you see a lot of sort of increment as well. But here, we're just taking a very conservative. I know some of the peers or people around this age, within their first few years of working, they're already seeing 30% annual wage increment. But we're not using the extreme cases for this illustration. We're just using a very conservative 10%. Based on this kind of illustration and projection, at these different milestones, this is roughly the age or the sort of income that you expect. And with this income, what this means to you is that you do have the potential and the opportunity to be owning portfolios worth this amount. Of course, the caveat right here is that assuming you have the down payment required. Down payment that are listed over here, it can come from the profit from your properties as well as your CPF and any cash savings. So from here, this gives you the potential to actually own all this. The other thing we want to think about is that actually going for resale will help you prevent any sort of drop in terms of loan tenure. Let's say we look at, again, these four different profiles. We know that for real estate, the smartest way to actually make the most profit is actually through leverage. And if we go the BTO route, we are depriving ourselves of that chance to go that as well. For resale, the earlier you can sell, the earlier you can enter into your private property. This also gives you a very good chance in terms of getting a higher loan tenure, because the later you enter, you are actually, you know, sort of qualifying for lesser and lesser loan tenure. So this actually affects your next property jump as well. So, I only have 1 minute left. 30 seconds left. Okay.
Plus 30 seconds because of the technical error.
Sure. Yeah. So just last two slides, right? Assuming, let's say, another case, if let's say you're someone who really wants to go for location, you want near MRT, why do you want to go for projects or the prime and plus where it is, you know, you have to wait your 14 years before you can MOP or sell? There's no space here already because it's too far out. But for resale, after 5 years, you can immediately MOP. You can sell if you want to. All right, here we're just saying that you can sell if you want to, but you may not need to. I'll just end up with this. Let me just flash it up in the last 30 seconds. This basically just shows you the trajectory of your property journey should you take these three different steps. If you go for plus and prime, you must know 4 years plus 10 years. Up to here, your total portfolio is kept at 1.1 because of the income ceiling, right? You can't, if you want to sell, you can't sell beyond that price. In terms of your estimated profits, less of your cost price, less of any subsidy clawback, this would be your net. Standard, as is quite easy to understand. 10 more seconds for resale. Here shows you the different milestones that you can take if you want to, if your family needs to. Sometimes, okay.
Thank you very much. Oh my goodness. This is what in army we call a GPMG machine gun. It's like, wow, solid. Thank you very much. Okay. Very interesting two segments. Thank you both teams for your 15 minutes opening on round one, money and money in terms of buying and selling, everything about numbers. And now we will be commencing into round 1C and round 1D, where each of the team will come up and do rebuttal. Of course, for the purpose of fairness, what is going to happen is that we will have team resale to start the rebuttal first, followed by team BTO to start rebuttal. Take note, both teams, that the rebuttal have to focus on the same topic, which is money, buying and selling, okay? And a quick shout out to our inside sales team consultants at the back. Maybe let's give them a round of applause at the back. Yeah, so later on, of course, when our poll has ended, when we announce our results on the winning team, if you have any questions, do stay around. Our inside sales team consultants will be very happy to help you answer any questions you have about your personal journey, current property, or any questions you can ask all our consultants at the back. Okay, without further ado, we'll kickstart 5 minutes per team, and let me welcome Team Resale.
Okay, thank you. Great arguments on both ends. And Team Resale will now kind of rebut some of the pointers that our fantastic BTO teammates have brought out. Lyndon, in his argument, first thing came out, BTO, OCR, how many K profit? RCR, how many K profit? CCR, how many K profit? He concluded, BTO definitely has a profit. Now, profit is not a strange thing when you have invested 9 years of your life into it. What is strange is that if there's no profit at all. So if you buy a BTO brand new, you have invested so much into, you know, it's brand new, it's empty. You have built it up, you've built a life in it. You waited 4 painful years to finally collect the keys. You step in, you know, you spend about 50, 80K. We've had teammates who have spent about 100, 150K on their BTO. That's not strange. You buy all the appliances brand new from scratch. And then you wait another 5 years, 9 years of your life. That's almost a decade. BTO definitely has a profit, yes. It is strange if it does not have a profit. Now, second question we have to ask ourselves is, what is the goal of this profit? Now, if you are buying a home and then you are so focused on the profit, yes, this profit you are making, but at what cost? At the cost of your time, this additional 4 years of your time? Maybe at the cost of the rising prices of other asset classes. Maybe you have bought into a 3-room, you want to upgrade to a 5-room HDB. 5-room HDBs, naturally, they'll increase at a price that is faster than your 3-room HDB. So at what price are you giving up to make this profit? And what is the point of this profit if by the time you make this profit that is only natural, the next asset is already out of your reach? Okay. Lyndon also brought up some, resale HDB flats that have made $0. I think I want to be careful to cherry pick projects, as you know, I think both sides can show very extreme cases of whether you have made profit or not made profit. But if you want a resale flat that can make profit, I think definitely look for Linden as the best. They will be best able to advise you for a fantastic resale property that can still make you some money. Okay, next thing is that when we talk about the appreciation and the initial investment. Now, looking at the money that you would pump into renovation, we do need to consider that as a cost as well. When you buy into resale properties, of course, Joanne mentioned the 190K. If your income does allow, definitely that's already into your CPF. Sebastian mentioned CPF versus cash. To be honest, that begs the question of what is your next step? If if this is your last property, you just want to cash out the appreciation, use it, travel the world, fantastic. Cash is perfect. If you're looking at this life stage to invest it into another property, then I think cash or CPF doesn't make a difference to me. Okay, and the most salient thing to kind of understand is that this profit that is so, revered and talked about, it cannot be understood in isolation. What are you giving up to make this profit is something that we have to ask ourselves. Joanne, you have any points?
Just a couple of points to add. I think Sebas also mentioned about the double positive effect, right? That his conclusion was that BTO buyers basically profit the most. Again, what we want to emphasize here is not just the profit you make on your first property. If that's a forever home, then by sure, all means, right? But if this is just a kickstart home, I think we should all take the big picture perspective, a more holistic approach. While your first property, maybe a resale HDB, may only get you that 200-odd-K in terms of your profit, paper profit, but with that HDB grants, that's also part of your profits as well. We want to talk about the profitability of the action that you're taking today. With your resale HDB, you're putting yourself in a situation where you have so much more opportunities to go into condo or even to just hold your HDB. You want to rent it out, maybe your second name, you're under owner-occupier scheme, you can go and purchase a second condo. And at the age of 40, who is the most profitable based on the three different trajectories that I shared? Just last 30 seconds, one point. I think Sebas also mentioned for resale grants, actually, the BTO sellers are the ones profiting because they receive it back in cash when the buyers buy over, right? But to take note, now with the new kind of BTO policies, there is actually this thing called a subsidy clawback. So while you think that you may get back a lot of money in cash, the government has already set a policy to say that from your profits, I'm going to take an X percentage. We don't know how big this X percentage is. Now versus your resale grants, while it is not cash, it goes into your OA that you can use. So do you want something that you can still use or you want something that you'll lose it back to the government? I leave it to you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Team Resale has completed their round 1C rebuttal. So 5 minutes to Team BTO right now. Sebas, take it away.
Yeah, okay. Right. I think the Team Resale obviously shared some very valid points for you all to consider. so we won't be addressing the points back to them, otherwise it will never be ending. So we'll just talk about what they shared earlier. I think the one thing we want to address is whether BTO prices is still affordable. That is what they came up strong with right at the start. Is it still affordable? In comparison to the entire resale market, sure, maybe there's cheaper options. But what are you sacrificing for, like they said? You are sacrificing the lease term. Because BTO is the only real estate product where you get to enjoy full 99 years lease. When you get the keys, you are at 99 years. If you go and buy a new launch condo, the construction period is included in your 99-year lease. Probably when you get your keys, it's left with 96 years, 95 years. The other thing, the exact prices earlier when they show, sure, for a four-room, we're going to ask, HDB is asking from you about 500,000 now at Tampines and OCR places. Again, if you consider HDB as a rental for your entire life, that 500,000 you divide by 99 years, I'm sure the amount will be much, much smaller than if you were to take a $400,000 flat left with a balance lease of 60 years. The denomination amount is so much bigger than your 99-year flat. And I think they also did mention that profits for resale flats are the pricing of resale flats versus the BTO flats are not that far off. If you take a look at the first number, sure. BTO flats are asking for 400 over 1,000, then resale flats are asking for 500 over 1,000. But if you really dive deep into the numbers, that's actually almost $150,000 to $600,000 difference. And that's on the lower threshold, which means the threshold is for an older resale flat. And I think we also want to address, I'm going to take more time to address this, which is the prime, the standard, and the plus, which, in all honesty, the effect of the whole entire change to the BTO housing market will only take place 14 years later. 14 years later, then you will see the effect, because that's when the plus and prime flats will start to hit the market. Now they're under construction, you need probably a 5 to 6 year build time. You have to stay for 10 years, and if you add up the years, it's going to probably be 2038. Yeah. So as a standard, obvious, as a standard type of flat, the government has already announced that it's probably not going to be the choiciest location or choicier location. But does that mean that it's not convenient anymore? Nowadays, even in Sengkang nowadays, they already included a hawker center. You can find coffee shops every 5 to 10 minute walk away. The convenience of the amenities is gonna increase all throughout the years, because progression and the development is something that is constant. People need amenities. We have to develop the amenities in order to satisfy the demand. Plus, in prime flats, they are gonna have subsidy clawbacks. I think earlier they mentioned some figures over there. The first PLH subsidy clawback is actually kept at 6%. 6%, if I were to resell my house at $1 million, 6% is a $60,000 clawback. And if you were to consider this $60,000 in terms of the $1 million price tag, actually it's not a lot. And I'm pretty sure that the owner of that $1 million flat will price it in. Instead of selling at $1 million, they're going to price it at probably $1.05 million to earn back that clawback. And the other thing where we talk about the convenience of prime and plus flats, the 10-year MOP might seem like a long time, but I think earlier when we shared a bit of numbers in our slides where the amount that you need in order to enter into private development is probably in the 300,000-400,000 liquid funds. What this means is that you need this amount of money in order to enter, even if you can take a 75% loan. So without this sort of pot of gold from your first BTO or from your subsequent resale flats, entering in might be a challenge for you. Especially if, let's say, you're a straight earner and the progression of your career is that it doesn't allow you to grow your funds drastically. Last point being that if you were to go in at 41 years old, which is the projection that if you will go to for a prime or a plus flat, at 41 years old, actually your loan amount will be so much more. The entry will be so secure because you have that pot of gold to help you enter into the condo upgrade or maybe a bigger unit upgrade. Yeah, so I think we can rest our case there.
All right, thank you. Give team BTO a round of applause for your rebuttal. Okay, before we enter into round two, this will be the final round. What we're going to focus on round two is opportunities. And of course, opportunities will revolve around your time, revolve around options, revolve around opportunity costs, and this is what the two teams are going to focus about. And before we start off round 2A, we will later on have Team Resale to kickstart their 15 minutes opening to talk about opportunities for resale. Then followed by Team BTO, 15 minutes. And then we're going to reverse that and have Team BTO to do the rebuttal first for 5 minutes. Then last but not least, Team Resale do their final rebuttal at 5 minutes. At this point in time, I believe you have already heard quite a lot of meat from the two teams, right? And you can also kickstart to key in more questions in your Q&A later on, because later after this final segment, we will straight away move into our audience Q&A. So Team Resale, are you ready for opportunities? Okay, let's welcome them, Team Resale, the final round. All right.
Okay, I hope you're still with us. I hope we're not boring you with all the numbers. So numbers are very important because they help us understand and make calculated decisions. Equally as important as numbers are opportunities. So round two is, you know, the theme that is given to us is all about opportunities. Okay, now, what is opportunity? Opportunity stems from the Latin phrase op portum. And op portum literally means op towards, portum the pot. Opportunity means when there are favorable winds that bring us towards a direction or destination that we want to hit to. Now, we explore in this sector, in this round, we explore opportunities which are chances that you can take. But importantly, life is not just about chances. Life is also about the chances you do not take. So in this 15 minutes that I do have with you, I'll also share what are some of the very important opportunity costs that we take when we make the wrong decision. Okay, now, a synonym for opportunity is also freedom. When we talk about freedom, we want to have the freedom of choice. We want to have the freedom to, you know, take care of our families, to upgrade. Now, every one of us wants to do well in life. Everyone wants to have the opportunity, the option to provide for your family, to hopefully, you know, use where you are staying as a vehicle to progress you in your life, to progress you in terms of financials. If not, you will not be here listening to all these numbers about BTO, resale, which one can make more profit. Okay, so freedom is something that is extremely key because we all want freedom. Freedom in making decisions for ourselves. Now, I'll be sharing a series of opportunities that you do get when you opt for a resale home. Okay, so first, the opportunity for independence. Now, assuming you are age 27 today, which is the profile that is provided, but of course you can imagine whatever age you are. Okay, has anybody here attempted for a BTO? Maybe show of hands. Have you tried to ballot? Have you tried to, you know, some of the friends at the back? Okay, can anybody just shout out how many times did you try, have you tried so far? 10, twice, 5, okay. 3, 11. Okay, we have a winner. 11 times, okay? Now, from in a year, there are 4 BTO cycles. Our friend here has tried 11 times. Okay, from 2019 to 2021, the percentage of families who were successful on their first try is 20 to 24%. Let me rephrase that. In 5 couples who have tried for a BTO, only one has been successful on their first try. Let's say you're really lucky, twice, you get your BTO. Looking at the construction time, as of February 2023, this year, 94 projects under construction have a median waiting time of 4.3 years. Some have even taken up to 7 years. Let's say yours is about 4 years. That's 6 months for trying and another 4 for construction. In these 4 years before you get your flat, life is at a standstill. You know, no matter what age you are, there are things that you want to do. You want to get a home because you want to create a life. A life that can only happen when you have your own space. And before you do get your home, that is not possible. So maybe you explore renting. Now, looking at the rental prices, I'm not sure whether what kind of rental accommodation do you need. But let's say you are a couple. You know, you just need something that is small, just one room, maybe a studio, in a non-mature estate, $1,500. $1,500 times 12 times 4 years of waiting time amounts to $72,000. Now, I'll briefly run you through. $72,000, if you were to buy a 700K resale flat, okay, the one that Joanne showed just now, that is 28 months of mortgage. Instead of paying 4 years rental into someone else's asset that goes into your own property. 2.3 years of that. $72,000 for your own future reno. $72,000 maybe for a second-hand car. That is the cost of this 4 years that you are waiting. That is your opportunity cost. Now, the opportunity to kickstart your life and the option to start a family, for example, and to build your own independence. The opportunity for choice. When you choose a resale flat, you open up a whole world where you do have more choices in terms of location, renovation, as well as price. Location. Where do you want? Pasir Ris? Woodlands? Punggol? Queenstown? There is. Anywhere. Anywhere you want, there's an option for you. Okay? You are not limited to the 4 releases a year in specific areas and very specific locations within the locations. Renovation. What renovation do you like? Scandinavian? Modern industrial? No renovation? All available. Okay? And with that, if you were to opt for something that has no renovation, what happens? You also have the opportunity to choose the price. So we hear some friends tell us, okay, the grants for resales are fantastic, but I don't have the income yet to afford the loan quantum that I want. I can only afford something that is maybe 300K, 350K, 400K. Because resale, you do have the option of so many different renovation styles. You can choose something that is slightly simpler, 300 plus K resale HDB to kickstart your journey. Okay? And maybe you're thinking, I don't want something that is so simple. I'll address that in just a bit. Now, we also talk about the opportunity of convenience. Okay, this is an important point. Convenience today is king. In a time-scarce world, you know, we are all strapped for time. We don't want to be spending so much time in terms of commute. So traditionally, the idea has always been to live in a place where it's very central. We always say central locations. Anybody can make a guess where this is? Yeah, some might think it's Malaysia, right? This is actually Punggol, and this is Punggol Waterway. Okay, back, so back in the past, okay, Punggol used to be a town where there was only one road to lead out of Punggol. That's called Punggol Road. There's only one way you can move out of Punggol, which is to drive down that one road. Now today, Punggol Waterway, beautiful, fantastic place, full of amenities. There are 11 schools, 11 primary schools in Punggol itself. Next year, in 2024, SIT will complete its main building in Punggol, kickstarting the Punggol Digital District, which will revolutionize this entire area and bring in more than 150 jobs in this, 150,000 jobs in this area. Right. So the myth of living in certain areas in Singapore is just no longer true. So what is convenience then? If it's not living in a certain area, then what is convenience? Okay, the new classification of BTO flats, BTO flats fantastically answers this question. To be convenient, the one most important thing that people will pay a premium for, proximity to MRT. If you want to be convenient, you do not need to be in a central location, you need to be close to an MRT. We started off with 5 MRT stations. By the end of 2023, there will be 8 MRT lines. 8 in 10 households will be a 10-minute walking distance from an MRT. Now, 8 in 10. 8 people in 10 will be near the MRT. And this is only something that resale flats and the standard flats can enjoy. Now, if you, in the future, now want a BTO that is near the MRT, that's totally possible. You would have to go for the plus and the prime, which is a 10-year MOP and you cannot rent out. But if it's for your own stay, then that's still fantastic. Okay. Now, we talked about opportunities in independence, in choice, in convenience. Let's also talk about the opportunity to progress, which is something that we kickstarted our whole evening with. The opportunity to progress is that when the time is right to be able to take the next step, you have the freedom to do so. Okay, now looking at BTO flats, 4 years to build, 5 years to MOP, and then for plus and prime, it's a total of 14 years. If today you are convinced that you want the option of progression, I'm not saying that you want to progress, okay, because there are many thoughts in our heads and it's really a calculated move. You have to think, the monthly mortgage, can I afford it? Do I like it? Do I like the amenities? I don't want to pay MCST. I don't want to be forking out so much into my condo. These are perfectly fine. But if you are convinced that you want the option to, if the option to do it is something you value, if freedom is something that you value, then let's talk about what options do you have. What is the other alternative? What is my other choice? Now, Let's talk about the opportunity to do one HDB plus one condo well. The only way you can ever have one HDB and one condo is if you kickstart with a HDB first. Now, you have to go in as an owner-occupier scheme, and there's no way to do this once you've gone in as a double owner. So this can only be done at the start, owner-occupier, and then eventually the occupier can buy a condo without paying the 20% ABSD. But that's a separate topic. Now, the only way to do this well, and why people want to do it, is that they want to own this condo. Okay, they serve the 5 years MOP. After 5 years, I rent out this condo. I rent out this HDB wholesale. Okay, maybe in these 5 years, I have worked really hard. I have saved up, you know, I've saved up some down payment. I buy a small condo. Okay, either I can rent out this condo, continue living in my HDB, or I can live in this HDB, or I can live in this condo and I can rent out this HDB. And then I use the rental income to pay the mortgage of the condo. Okay? Now, the only way to do this strategy well, okay, both standard BTO flats and resale flats, you can do this, you can achieve this. But let's think a little bit more about standard BTO flats. The only way, okay, because these standard BTO flats are no longer going to be near the MRT, right? So the only way we can really maximize our rental yield is to have a flat that is near the MRT. If we are really thinking about keeping this HDB, renting it out, and then, you know, staying in the condo and using this rental, okay, maybe $3,000, $4,000. And by the way, the yield of a HDB flat, the rental yield will always be the highest because you enter at the lowest quantum compared to if it's a condo. So let's say $3,000. You use this $3,000 to pay the mortgage of your condo, and then you enjoy staying in the condo. But if you were to be holding on to a standard BTO flat today, this would no longer be possible for you. Okay, so BTO flats under the Plus and Prime, why is it not possible? Because under the regulations, you are not allowed to rent out the entire unit. You can only do room rental, and of course, room rental doesn't maximize your yield. So if your plan is to own a HDB and a condo eventually as well, then standard BTOs are not near the MRT. Plus and Prime BTOs, you can't rent it out. I'm hesitant to say it's your only option, but it does seem like there are not many options that are favorable other than resale. Resale HDBs, okay, near the MRT really does seem like the only possible and fantastic way to make this happen. Okay, and one more objection that, okay, just nice, I have about 1.5 minutes to sum this up. Another objection that people have, you know, just now back to the question of, I'm buying my first home. I don't want to buy into a flat that is, you know, just 300K or 350K. A few options. Number one, you can save up for 1 or 2 more years. Save up your down payment. Wait for your income to increase a little bit. You know, if you believe that you're doing well at your job. In that case, this 2 years that you wait, or 1 or 2 years, is still not the full 4 years that you have to invest into a BTO. That's first. Second thing is that, really, it's a mindset kind of... We have to understand and ask ourselves questions, right, on our mindset. If we are eventually buying to rent out, and this is not my forever home, then why do I need the full 99-year lease? Tenants care about convenience, they care about accessibility, they don't really care about tenure, they don't really care about the age of the property. As long as the interior is, you know, livable, it's nicely furnished, then I think that's what matters most to the tenants. So, as we end off, I think I just asked this question. In terms of opportunity cost, time and freedom, ask yourself, what is your plan, maybe after 5 years? And I think our team really believes that time and freedom is your biggest asset. Right? And one last thing, in terms of, let's say, when you want to upgrade or when you want to buy in, will the rental cost be cheaper now in 2023 or in 2027 when you get your keys? Will the condo prices be cheaper now or in 9 years when you get your keys? No, when you want to purchase. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Team Resale. And of course, who's going next? It's the best. All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's kickstart the timer.
Okay.
15 minutes. Let's go.
Okay, so I think Grace covered a lot of considerations that if you want to do BTO or resale, there is really a lot to think about. Time, freedom, opportunity cost. I want to touch a little bit more on some things that are a bit more tangible. So moving on. Down. Yeah. So earlier, I think she mentioned the renovation cost. So this was picked out from a recent article by Canvas. Five-room BTO renovations versus five-room resale flat renovations. Buying into a resale flat sometimes comes with certain things. And there are also some considerations that you don't know who lived here before. You don't know who stayed in the flat before. Which is why we like new things. We like new cars, we like new bags, new shoes. New flats is always at the top of our mind, which is why subscription rates are always at the highest, which we'll get on to that later. But hold on, can I go back? Yeah, but I just want to point out one thing is that if you do renovations for your BTO, actually you have the opportunity to keep your renovation costs low. Minimally, I think you can look at $30,000. Realistically, I think a lot of people do about $40,000-$50,000. But for your resale options, immediately, minimally, I think you will need $65,000. For one thing, you need to redo the whole wiring, the aircon piping, the water piping, the new DB box. All this is cost. And if you do hacking and retiling of tiles and everything, that's going to cost a big, big bomb. Of course, BTO, you can go very extravagant. You can do $130,000. Five-room resale, you can also can do $130,000, but I'm given the opportunity to keep my costs low at $30,000 if I do a BTO. Next slide. So BTO, they sometimes come with standard fittings. If you do opt for this thing called the optional component scheme, if you get your BTO, remember to get the optional component scheme. Why you get the optional component scheme, later I'll elaborate. So BTO, it has less extensive renovations required. Your new BTO layouts, which I think some of us here have some gripes about, is all very standard. But because of the standard layout, we are able to maximize the floor space. If you go to your resale counterpart, sometimes the floor space is a lot larger. You need to use a lot more materials to renovate, and that is all cost. And sometimes, some resale options, the layout is just not so efficient for you to utilize. And I think space is a double-edged sword. Like I mentioned, if you have more space, there is more things to renovate. There is more things to renovate, you need more material costs, so sometimes that pushes up the price tag. And I think the benefit of a BTO is that your HDB furnishings defect is rectified by HDB when you do get the place brand new. So renovations, this is just a bonus plus point, nothing to do with the debate. I just want to let everybody know that the renovation interest rate is currently at 4.88%. Some of our teammates has just taken it up. If you want, you can also take a personal loan at 3.48%, 3.6%. Why do you take a renovation loan or a personal loan to fund your renovation? It's because actually you can hedge it with, let's say, an FD or T-bills so that your renovation cost is kept low. This is just some consideration for you to take away. But renovation financing is also cost. If I were to pay the interest at 4.88% of a big quantum at 100,000, it will cost me 4,000 interest a year, and I'll be repaying about 1,800 per month. If I take something lesser, $50,000, like for a brand new BTO, I'll only be paying $900 every month, and my interest is capped at 200 a month, and it's a total interest cost of 2,000 for the entire year. So of course, double the price, double the interest, double the cost. Lower price means lower commitment monthly. And of course, this is all up to your comfortability. Whether you want to do a $50,000 renovation or $100,000 renovation, the BTO and the resale option will allow you to do that, but BTO allows you to keep it lower. Yeah, so one more thing is that for BTO, you have the benefit of the optional component scheme. This graphic here is by HDB. So it just depicts the difference in terms of ID costs, and this is the minimal ID cost versus the OCS cost.
OCS cost is going to cost you about 6,000 for a 3-room flat, 4-room flat 8,000, 5-room flat 9,000. But if you head to an ID cost, minimally it's going to look at 11,000 versus the, for the 3-room, that's $5,000 difference. 4-room, there's a $7,000 difference. And lastly, for your 5-room, there's a $6,000 difference. Sorry, $8,000 difference. So all this is still extra cost if you do ID for your resale flats. Okay, I'm good. So, and the last thing, the benefit of the OCS is that OCS can be covered in your mortgage, which means you're not... can I go back to renovation loan? Yeah. Which means I'm not paying 4.88%, I'm not paying 3.48%, I'm paying 2.6% because it is tagged to my mortgage loan at 2.6%, 0.1% above your OA. Of course, this is just the very basic things like your floor tiles, your sanitary finishings, your doors, your internal doors. If you still want to do carpentry inside your kitchen, that's, of course, an additional cost that HDB doesn't have for the optional component scheme. Slide. Yeah, so I'll just hand it over to Lyndon.
So next, I'll be talking about some of the intangible assets, intangible feelings when you get a new place. Number one, let's look at aesthetics. Okay, do you want to go to a place that you only have two lifts, one lift breakdown, then you have to wait 5 minutes for the other lift to go all the way to the 18th floor, come back down to the first floor, then you can go up to the 8th floor. Okay, when you go, because this is what I face in my parents' house. When one lift breaks down, I ask myself, do I want to walk up 8 flights of stairs to my 8th floor parents' house? For new, you get much nicer facade. You get garden, roof gardens, you get terraces, and all that kind of things. Which do you want to stay? This or this? You get multi-story car parks. You don't need to, why my car gonna bird shit again? No more. It's all multi-story car park, underground parking. These are the new BTOs. Just another example also. New and old. You get higher floors. Pinnacle at Duxton, that was a BTO. You get much higher floors. You're overlooking up to 50 floors. Dawson, even way more surreal view. Can they look into that landed enclave or can you look into that landed enclave? An unblocked view. Nothing's going to change. Next. Like what I mentioned, sheltered access to multi-story car park, linkways available on all different, and more green space. We see now condos are dedicating 80% to the landscaping. Why? Because people want to have a place that they can call home. It's not just a place to stay, it's not just a place to go home and sleep, but you want to take walks with your significant other downstairs in a nice landscaping area. Go Punggol, even though it just now looked like Malaysia, now you all can go on walks. Maybe not so much like Paris, but at least it's littered and nice. And we understand that there has been higher counts. I applied for a BTO. I stay in a BTO. This was my application usually, 1.2 to 2. 2 was considered high. Now we are looking at the popular areas almost 17 times, 20 times of the application rate. 22 applicants applying for 1 4-room unit. I want you to remember this number. 22 for 1 4-room unit. Is this scary? Is it scary? Coven was 25. Moving on. But this is the resale market. If you want something like what Grace mentioned, new, 5 years, just MOP, Scandinavian look, industrial look, not all those 001. Research in Tampines, newly MOP'd. You only have 7 results for 4-room HDB. Roughly about the same applicants applying for that Tampines, 428 vying for 1 room. At this point in time, I want to be the Tampines seller. Got 400 people that could be applying. If the marketing is done right. Okay? Moving on. That's why the government has really looked out for us. If you heard in our recent NOTG podcast, we were talking about Standard Plus Prime. Even Grace and Joanne mentioned, what is this new thing? In our newest podcast, we mentioned that it will only take effect in 2038 because that is when they come onto the market. We're talking about now. It's not yet 2024. We are still in September. This will address for those people to really understand maybe property is not, property asset progression is not for me. I just want to stay in Queenstown. I just want to stay central. I just want to stay somewhere that I really love. And then maybe after 5, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, if I really want to move, if my job has paid me well, then I will see how I can move to. So those people that have been applying, they cannot take any property and try to use HDB as an asset progression anymore. So this would draw out many of the people, reducing the number of people applying for the BTOs. I think on to my next slide. Never mind. This one, I will just skip again, but because it's re-emphasizing the point. But what we really want to talk about is how easy for you it is to exit. If you buy into a resale that is 30 years old, you stay for another 5 years, it is 35 years old, how easy is it for you to exit? When you buy into a brand new flat, once it MOP, this is what we call the herd mentality. If every one of us here stays, if the first person sell at 600,000, I'm only going to sell my flat at 600,000. Because that is where he has set the benchmark. My flat is same as him. It's the same benchmark. And more importantly, when you buy into resale, you get some of the intangible assets, the intangible feelings, because that's what I'm feeling now. Next slide. You get the kampung spirit. My sister bought into a resale. My sister bought into resale, Cantonment Close. Her neighbor, very lovely lady, but she also paisei when she have to do renovation, cause it's an old auntie. When you buy into a BTO, everyone is doing renovation at the same time. What's that to paisei? Correct. It is the kampung spirit. This is my own Telegram chat group set up by people that don't make money. We have marketplace, we have group buys. I'm even guessing I can open up one group chat saying that, hey, I need to leave my kid at someone's house. Can anyone help look after? This is what HDB is. This is what a home is. A lot of the adults always tell me, it doesn't take two parents to raise a baby. It takes a kampung to raise a baby. And when you start out something so long, 8 years, 9 years, 7 years, I've gotten to know a lot of my neighbors. They are fighting for things that I would like, wow, thank God they fight for this. Both on Telegram, both on Facebook, I'm guessing the next one is going to be TikTok. Yeah. Next. So, really, what am I losing out if I buy a BTO? That is a quick main question. Number one, you'll be sacrificing a larger floor plate. That is the fact. We will get a smaller house. But with that, it lowers our renovation costs. We have delayed accessibility, but higher chances of securing a preferred unit at a lower cost. 22:1 versus 478:1. We get updated accessibilities and facilities in the new BTO cluster. 10 years ago, no one wanted to stay at Punggol. Now, elderly, middle age, everyone wants to stay at Punggol because it's such a nice place. Of course, it will not be the best when it starts out. Number four, a synchronized exit which allows for easier and maximize profit. Everyone is selling, valuation is being pushed up. You don't have to worry about buyers, usually at an MOP unit. And my last is that with the new HDB framework, it will help to regulate and increase the chances of securing a BTO. So with that said, I think this is our last slide, and I just want to thank you for listening to us.
Thank you. Thank you, Team BTO. All right. We have the final segment, final rebuttal. So I'm going to invite Team BTO to kickstart first your last rebuttal chance, 5 minutes to rebut about opportunities that Team Research has talked about. All right, 5 minutes starts now.
Hi again. So I think there are a few points that I would like to rebut, but I've addressed quite a few in my slides earlier. So with the new scheme, we are really looking at lowering the sign-up rates, and this can only be observed in the next, I would say, 3 to 5 years, because this is what the government has to try. They have to implement, to test, to see what's on the ground. Number two, if you buy a BTO, for me, I got married 2 years ago. So my wife, thankfully my wife, moved into my parents' house. It's not easy. Two people staying in one room. Okay, when one want to do work, one want to watch TV. When one want to sleep, one want to do work. It's not easy, but it grows, it helps you to understand that if you can survive in a small place, whether can you survive in a bigger place? You get to know each other. You get to understand your characteristics and your needs and your picks. Okay? But if, let's say, you were to go out and rent, okay, we have covered that. How much would you earn in a BTO right now? Say maybe about, is 300K fair? 300K fair? We have 4 years. Each month, we put in $3,000 to rental. Per year, $36,000. 4 years, that works up to be about $120,000. We made $300K. We still have an annualized profit of $180,000. Thereabouts. So the profit still makes sense. The question is, can the resale give you the annualized profit? Second point, if really you want to find a place to call your own, there are many different choices. What I quoted, $3,000 a month, was in the open market. I have many friends, they say that they need a place on their own, they approach HDB, saying that they have a kid, or they want to test out staying together, they rent directly from HDB, which is much more affordable. The third point, one word really stuck to me was freedom, 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 opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. So I have to bring out my last secret bullet. Okay, this is my last secret bullet. This is my journey. Of course, age, we have a profile and all. But timeline-wise, let's talk about we remove the age. Okay. Many couples, maybe they start dating early and all that. Once you know that you are committed, this is what me and my wife did. We apply as both. Two names. My BTO took 6 years to come. Very long. I waited very, very long. Took 6 years to come. But luckily, I could use these 6 years for my wife to save up her CPF. About a year before our key collection, I took my name out of the BTO. I let my wife finance it alone. So my wife was the owner, I'm the essential occupier. Of course, once we collected our key in June, we have to serve our 5 years MOP. But after 5 years, right now as a BTO owner, I have the freedom, the opportunity to say, do I want to sell my BTO to go and buy a private? Do I want to keep my BTO to go and buy a private without the ABSD? That is freedom and that is opportunity. And the fact, coupled with it, the cost of BTO is still able to be financed using one income, one median income. But once you buy into resale, you're looking at 600,000. So, lastly, with the last 30 seconds, with the new, I want to talk about the future. The standard plus and prime. If ultimately I cannot rent out my plus, I cannot rent out my prime, what do I do? You're already in a very good location. If you can park it under one name, best. Then use the other name to buy a private, to rent it out or whatsoever. But if you can't, after 10 years, you either sell it or you continue to stay in it until you earn a certain amount. And then you decide to move on to your next property. So that's our rebuttal.
Thank you. This one in Mandarin we call 豁出去了. That means use personal story to All right. Okay. Last but not least, let's welcome Team Resale. This is the final round, round 2D. So please take note that we have to focus on opportunities. All right. So let's welcome Team Resale. Give them a round of applause.
Just to also share our thoughts on a couple of things that was brought up by Team BTO. I think Sabez rightfully mentioned that, of course, for resale flats, sometimes the renovation may take a higher cost, and you would be thinking, you know, who has lived here before, and you also want new. But sometimes we also want to think about whether that is a mindset block. While he showed you many beautiful articles about, you know, comparing newly renovated BTO flats versus newly renovated resale flats, what he didn't tell you is that a lot of all these flats are also used to be resale, right? But once it's gone through a full gutted renovation, it's almost like a new lease of life. It's almost like a brand new flat entirely. But yet, rationally and objectively, this is done within a very short kind of time frame, and it allows you to move on to your next property. That's one. The other thing is, while we say that a resale flat takes a lot, but we must also know that there are also people who have spent like 100 over 1,000 in terms of renovating their BTO. So I don't think it's fully representative to just conclude that overall resale flats do take a larger amount in terms of renovation. And of course, when you go into the resale market, you basically have the freedom and the choice to actually select newer MOP flats, maybe those 5 or 6 years MOP flats, which may not actually require a full gutted renovation. Given that they're still quite brand new and the owners have stayed in themselves, likely they would take very good care of it, and you don't really need to see yourself going through that full 100K in terms of renovation. We also have to be smart, right? Ultimately, it depends on each buyer, how smart you are in terms of picking your flats. And if you need agents to source the right flats for you, I think Sebastian and Linda will do a good job as well. Next, Sebastian also talked about resale flats because they are larger, they take up higher rental costs, but ultimately it also depends on the materials that you're using, right? For my own flat, it's a resale flat, but I went with vinyl. It's also much cheaper than, you know, I can imagine a newly BTO flat, even though the floor size is smaller, but if they were to hack the tiles and retile, I'm sure the cost is going to be higher than what I've done for my resale. So I don't think that is a very strong point as well. Ultimately, I think renovation is also a matter of preference. You have to be smart, and with the latest technology right now and the latest improvement in all the materials and all that, there are very, very smart ways to still do your renovation while keeping your costs very low. And recently, there's also this trend about using loose furniture to spruce up your place aesthetically. I'll leave the remaining time to Grace. There's too much to counter, but we can talk later.
Okay. Thanks, Joanne. So, just a few things as we wrap up the lovely night. Okay, so I think Sabez mentioned we like new things. I like new things as much as the person next door, right? I like walks with my significant other in nice landscaping. I like no bird shit on my car. And I also like kampong effect. I would very, very much love all of that. But something I love more is owning 2 assets in the future. Something I love more is freedom. Something I love more is choice. And I think we really have to think to ourselves, are we looking at instant gratification? I just want something brand new now. Or am I looking at making decisions for my future self? Am I looking at making decisions for my future self? Okay, so in 5 years' time, do I like what I'm enjoying? Okay, or will I be listening to my friends saying they've already been upgrading, they're looking at asset progression, and I'm still just collecting my keys after renovation? Okay, looking at the MOP effect,
the herd mentality, if everyone is coming up to sell at such a high price, is there a possibility that resale in the area then becomes more attractive? If your standard flat that is so far away, or if your prime flat that is so near the MRT and is so fantastic is selling at such a high premium because of the herd mentality, then is then the resale flat something that is more attractive at that point in time as your future buyer? Okay, now, a false dichotomy that I do want to bring out is that, you know, we talk about redoing the entire piping and doing a full gut renovation for a resale flat. How about I offer you an alternative? Buy something that is newly MOP. You don't wait the 4 years. You don't have to pump in the rental cost yourself, but you do still get to enjoy this something that your first BTO buyer has pumped in for you, and you just freshly get to enjoy it. Right now, one last minute, I asked Quora this morning, is there anything more important than money? Can I have my slides, please? Okay, is there anything more important in life than money? This person, she's a psychologist, so she must be right. She said, peace of mind, being in love, and being loved by a dog. I cannot agree more. But also, I asked myself, in your investment journey, what is more important than profit? In your investment journey, what is more important than money? And there are only a few things that triumph profit in your real estate journey. Time and freedom. Okay? Time and the choice to make decisions that best suit you and your family. I think that triumphs all things. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Awesome. I think the two teams has done very well. Why don't we give them a huge round of applause? All right, we're coming to an end. Final segment. We would love to have our audience participate. If you are here live with us, you have the freedom to raise your hand. We'll pass our mics to you so you can ask any questions. I think this is the best time to ask our four consultants about any questions about BTO or resale. Meantime, we want to give our audiences at home a little bit of time to key in their final questions as well. And if you have any questions, probably because I think we should give the benefit to some of our live audiences because you spend your time to travel here all the way to PRB office. Why don't we kickstart with our live audience for the first question? Anybody has any questions? Please raise your hands. We'll be very happy to pass you the mic. Just feel free to ask. Safe environment, don't worry. Only about 400 people online see what and hear what you're talking about only. Anybody? There's some young couples with us here today. I think they are giggling there. Probably got some questions. Anybody want to ask any questions? Mike. We take one question for the live audience first. Yeah. Anybody? Okay, if no question. Oh, yes, we have. Come, let's pass the mic to the gentleman. Can we have your name, please, sir?
Hi, my name is Tinesh. Just wanted to say I was a great debate today, very engaging. Not really a question, but I think just wanted to add on to a point was between the resale and the BTO. I think one very important distinguishing factor, I think, with a resale option, when you're starting the whole process, I guess, you're competing with each other based on money. Whoever pays the highest money get the resale flat, I mean, minus the ethnic quota or anything. But when you're going through the BTO path, we all know it's a luck of the draw. And even after you get luck of the draw, when you've got a number, sometimes you might be given a flat on the second floor and you decide, do I go for it or do I not go for it? Like this gentleman here, we said he went for 11 times. If this was my 12th time, second floor unit facing the dustbin, do I take it? Because if I don't, I can't do the next BTO. So I think that's another big consideration, I guess, people are going to have to put in, as you said, you know, time and money. Big one. But regardless, I think the BTO part is home to a lot of people because everyone has gone through the whole BTO route before. As a Singaporean, you can only do BTO twice in your life. Would you want to lose this opportunity? So I think that's the big one.
Thank you. We would like to invite you back for the next debate. Very good points there because BTO is a rare chance, right? And of course, I think one very interesting thing that was not talked about today is the issue about COV as well, right? because I think Mr. Tinesh was talking about the cost of resale, who has the highest bidding power in terms of COV as well, will likely get the property. So thank you for the question and also sharing your inputs. We'll take one question online. And let me see. Any other questions? I'll choose a challenging question. Do you have any questions at the back? Anything? Gary, any other questions do we have? Next slide. Or meantime, our team is figuring out the questions from our online audience. Any questions from our live audience again? Any questions? Okay, why don't I just take the first one. With plus and prime categorization, do you see standard flats achieving higher prices than plus and prime when they reach MOP? All right, who would like to take this question? All right, it's the best. Come on.
Okay. Mic test. Okay, great. So yeah, I think that's one of the questions that really is close to me and Lyndon. We were also discussing whether standard prime and plus, what's the price differentiation between the few. I think ultimately we also understand that convenience, location is king, as shared by Grace earlier. We will definitely see prime flats being the choiciest and the priciest. Plus flats being the choicier locations within other regions, they would assumingly command a premium over the standard flats. But would the ability to rent out your flat garner a premium over the plus flats? I think this question really, we will only see the effect 14 years later. But I think from what we understand is that the ability for a certain property or asset to generate more returns generally is more favorable. But it doesn't mean that if, let's say, the plus at that location, I think they're going to command a premium. But it doesn't mean I think the standard will lack off that much in terms of pricing because it is a more performing asset in this scenario.
Great. All right. Thank you. We have time for one more question. Let me take one more
Sorry,
question.
Sorry, maybe I can just add on a
sure,
little bit.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. So I think the question is with regard to will standard BTOs, when they eventually MOP, command a higher pricing than the Prime and Plus? The best answered that fantastically. So one additional point of consideration is also when you are thinking about the pricing, right, it's, you're also thinking in the perspective of the owner, how much they will make. Yeah, so just because you're able to sell at a higher price for your Prime and Plus doesn't mean all of the profit is for you to keep. Because for the Prime and Plus, there is that clawback. So that is something that is to be considered as well. Yeah.
All right. Let's take one more question. Any questions for our live audience? Okay, great. This gentleman over here, let's have the mic. You have your name, sir.
Ivan.
Right.
So I was just wondering whether, like, within the future, like, prime flats, because they have all the restrictions, let's say after the MOP, right, would it affect the prices of resale flats? Since, like, most of Singaporeans, like, 80% are staying in HDB, right? So most people, I assume, are buying for own stay. So if there's a cap in the prime flats, right, and then resale flats, right, well, there are no cap, but would the price be limited by the prime flat? Because, like, for example, prime maximum 1 million. Then with the resale flats also can't be too far off because most people are buying for own stay. And if the disparity is too big, then people won't buy the resale flats. So what my question would be, like, do you think, like, prime flats would be like the cap in the end because resale flats can't go too far off from it?
Great question. Anybody want to take it?
This is a very difficult question to answer, but I'll try my best. So we have to take reference from some point, correct? Plus, prime, they are in choicier locations. So let's take reference for an example in Outram Park, center location near Anson Road, near Chinatown. Right now, the newest flat there would be about maybe about 8 years old. And then you have the next batch, which is 20 years old, then the next batch, which is 30, 40 years old. So if it's 8 years old, the plus and the prime will be coming into play in about 14 years. So that means that the current flat there that's the newest will be at least 30-something years old already, close to 30 years old. We have to see whether that depreciating lease, will it affect the cost of it being, of its interest in that, it being a resale unit that anyone can buy, no income ceiling whatsoever. So from there then, we still can see in that same area location, maybe for something that is currently at 30 years old, are still hovering at the 700, 600 plus thousand range. So I would say that, of course, the prime will still be the highest benchmark because they are new, and that from there, we would take reference also from the rest of the remaining resale flats there. Yeah, so I hope I have answered that question.
Thank you. I feel a bit itchy already. What do I answer for you? Okay. Just kidding. Okay, I think this gentleman poses a very good question because based on the question, maybe your thinking and mindset is that should you go for like maybe like Pinnacle Duxton right now? Because Pinnacle Duxton is like not restricted under prime, right? Yeah, but will the future prime flats, because it's being packed at like 1.1 million budget, cause a stagnation of this type of properties? So, great question. So, first parameters is that all future prime properties or PRH, they are restricted at your future resale buyers being capped at 14,000 combined resale income. This definitely causes a pack in that price, that chart that was shown just now, probably about $1.1 million. This actually allows the runway starting from today until next time for the properties like Pinnacle and Duxton not categorized here to run freely. I will consider them to run a little bit like wildfire. The rationale is because they are the last batch of all this, like probably like Skyview at Dawson, all these kind of properties that they are the last flats with that freedom, not packed with the 14K sort of like income ceiling, right? But of course, there's two parameters that the government has also came up with last year. One is that if you want to buy a HDB, and usually people with that kind of budget, like $1.3 or $1.4 million, Pinnacle, Luxon, 5 room, they usually come from private properties. But now they have the 15 months gap. So people might bite the bullet and wait for that 15 months. Maybe go and rent or something like that. Then they will still bite the bullet and buy it. Second one that I think will be a little bit more wild are the 4 room flats, because the 4 room are open to so-called seniors above 55 years old. They can immediately buy. So I think this last batch of prime properties, their price, we might see some pricing into an escalation figure, but I think the market will balance itself. If, let's say, it goes up to 1.6, 1.7, it starts to make no sense. People might then think that, hey, maybe I should just stop out a little bit, get a 2-odd million or older condo that's about 1.9 million in the city fringe or maybe OCR. So I think market will balance itself out. But I still think that this last batch will start to see a little bit more acceleration because people will think that, wow, this is like the final chance for me to own all these kind of properties. So are you planning to buy like Pinnacle, Duxton, all these kind of? Just thinking, huh? Okay. Or are you going to like prime BTO, but you're a bit worried price performance?
So I want a good location, but I want to think like how to say which one would, like, because I probably want to stay for a period of time, not say like immediate MOP, immediate sell. Mm. So if I, for example, like say I buy a Duxton, and next time when there's like the prime becomes like a limit, like the gap cannot be too big, then end up I buy Duxton and I don't make much of a like a profit anymore. Then might as well just bought a prime which was a bit cheaper, and the end also sell around the same price.
Right. Understand. Thanks for sharing. All right, thank you. Give a round of applause to this gentleman. Okay, we still got 3 minutes, 34 seconds. Any last question for our live audience? Anybody wants to ask anything? Any funny question? If not, okay, let me look at what is available online. Is it worth getting a resale flat at Serangoon worth 700K at 60 years lease by Mr. Donald Chu? Let's answer this question. Maybe final chance for resale team to answer a question. Is it worth getting a resale flat at Serangoon worth 700K, 60 years lease?
Yeah, I think the answer to this question really depends on what is your objective of going into a resale at this point with a 60 years lease worth 700K. If your intention is really to use this as your pivot home, as your final home, then I think the lease doesn't matter. You can just go into it, even for older properties, right? Because this is your final home, you really, maybe you're at a stage where you are, you know, taking a bit more defensive approach. You just want to downpay a property, you don't want to worry about your monthly mortgage, then there's really no issue, nothing wrong with going to a property that's much older or more mature in your lease. However, if let's say you are looking at this as maybe not your forever home, but just a temporary place, and you still have plans to, you know, maybe upgrade or switch your portfolio in future, then maybe at this point, what we would recommend is if your financials allow you to, maybe you can consider some of the units that are, in terms of the lease, are younger. That gives you a better chance in terms of making that switch in future if you want to. So I think the answer to this question really depends on your objective of buying your next property.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Okay, so I think we should do a quick recap and, of course, give our audiences a chance for your final poll. So this is now your chance to vote on after hearing from both sides, where do you want to lean towards? Do you want to lean towards BTO or resale? And please scan the QR code if you are at home watching our Zoom together with us. Cast your final vote, and we will give everybody 1 to 2 minutes for us and also for our back-end team to tabulate the results as well. Now, meantime, of course, quick recap. I think our teams has done very well sharing about both financials, renovation. They talk a lot about opportunity costs. They also talk about how convenience has shifted because now everywhere there's MRT station. And if you look at the whole development and evolution of HDB properties, now it seems like, you know, with standard plus prime, sometimes it can get a little bit more confusing. So we just hope that tonight's debate will give you a little bit more clarity. We talk a lot also about your future asset progression. So I think especially for those of you who are confused, maybe in a struggling dilemma that, you know, what's going to happen next time, everything is so expensive, maybe I just continue with my current, you know, plan for the next 10 years or 14 years and don't think too much. But I think both teams has also came up with that argument about future freedom. Maybe we as human beings want to have a little bit more freedom at the end. And even for BTO team also came up with a very interesting route, right? That even for BTO, you can also have a potential for freedom. Now, just to clarify a little bit, just now, our teammates share a little bit about owner-occupier scheme. You still need to take note of two parameters is that if you want to avoid ABSD for the second property, which is you want to go with a HDB and a condo route, you must make sure that you understand the concept of the next property's LTV, because you must pay off your HDB, then you can be eligible for your next property LTV at 75%. But of course, if you go with one owner, one occupier route, the occupier is not considered to have a mortgage. So as long as the occupier alone is strong enough to take the loan for the next condo, then you can safely go for LTV 5%, even though, let's say, your spouse is still servicing the loan for this current property. So there are different concepts. If you want to understand, consultants are very to share with you and plan out your entire journey with you. All right. Our poll is ready. We still have time. Okay, great. Still need a couple of minutes. How many minutes? 4 minutes, 5 minutes. 4 minutes. Okay. You see the hand behind the curtain? 4 minutes. Okay, they still need a tablet. Okay, why don't we just take some more questions? This is the best time to ask. Save anybody has any questions? Anybody that is I see the chart coming out soon. Anyone has any questions? Anybody planning to get a BTO at this point in time? Anybody? Or already gotten already? For those of you who have already gotten a BTO, you are here because are you thinking about whether you should give up a BTO or something like that? Or you've already placed an option for a resale, but you want to give out your $1,000 option fee. Okay. Yeah, while waiting for the next few minutes, just now I saw one very interesting question, I think from Yvonne. She was asking that currently she's 50 years old. Should she go for a BTO or resale because she has an intention that next time she wants to pass down this property to her children, right? So will BTO or resale be better for her now with the intent of passing on to her children? Who would like to take this question?
Of course, I would love to attempt to try the question again. So I would say it depends on what Yvonne is currently staying in. If she is staying in a HDB at the same time, currently, what she can do is apply for the BTO, continue to stay in a HDB, wait until the BTO has, HDB has called her to let her know that it is time for her to collect keys. Then she can sell her current place, finance the BTO, and then move into the BTO to refresh the lease. Why I say this is because I do have a lot of we do have a lot of clients that are staying in much bigger houses. You're talking about EAs, EMs, and all that kind of thing. So they are at maybe the 30-year lease mark kind of now. So they did apply for a BTO, a 3-room. So once they sell off this huge HDB for about 700,000 to 800,000 in outskirts of Singapore OCR, they are able to fully finance the entire 3-room within the profit of this and then refresh the list. So when they do want to pass it on to their children, it is a newer flat that the children can sell and possibly a bit more money for them to split among for the inheritance.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Lyndon. So poll results are ready. Okay, great. Let's have a look at the poll results before the debate started. Let's have a look whether do we have more votes on BTO or resale. So this is the first poll before the result. Resale, or undecided got 13. Okay, resale got 12. BTO has 8. All right, great. And are we ready to announce the final one? Okay, great. Let's have a look at the poll results after the debate right now. Well, all the undecided people get absorbed into it. So we have BTO 14, resale 17. And we'll be pleased to announce the winners for tonight's debate will be Team Resale. Give them a round of applause. By the way, I think it's a very tough fight, right? And of course, as mentioned, we are really here to take the position of educating, and they are trying to imagine if they only have one choice, they will do their best to defend that choice. But most importantly, they are holistic, and I think whether it's BTO or resale, end of the day, it depends also on a lot of different intangible factors, because maybe you and your spouse, you and your family only have that preference from young that, hey, you know, I just really want to have the brand new flat feeling. Right, so sometimes feeling is also very important, right? On top of numbers, location, and of course, sometimes you really want to stay within the same, maybe 2 minutes walk from your parents' place, and with that, you have to go for resale, and you want speed as well. So I think end of the day, it really depends on preference. But let's give a round of applause to BTO and resale. I think they've done a great job. Also, I want to thank everybody for taking your Friday evening with us at PRB office. If this is your first time here, we want to thank you and welcome you for visiting us. And also later, you can spend some time with our consultants at the back or just around here. You want to sit down, chat a little bit, you want to exchange numbers with them, feel free to do so. Just to also announce, we have the next debate coming up. And I think that's going to be very interesting if you're interested in condo versus landed. So for our audiences at home, if you're watching this webinar with us, condo versus landed is happening on the 29th September this month as well. It will be also in person here, and it will also be online, happening at 7 p.m. Come in with us if you want to come in live here, have some food and drinks with us. And then we'll officially start at 8 p.m. And of course, what's going to happen is that Sean and Yu Rong, They're going to take one position, and George and Gavin is going to take another position. If I remember, George and Gavin will be taking the landed position. Yuro and Sean will be defending whether should this couple go for a condominium route, whether this couple should go for a landed route. So I think it's going to be a very interesting debate. Similarly, we're going to talk about a lot of charts, numbers, and analysis. Last but not least, we are also having our annual client appreciation event. This is coming up on 11th of November 2023. It's going to happen on a Saturday, right? And we're going to host 450 of our clients who have transacted and, of course, who have serviced over the past 4 to 5 years. You'll be receiving a message and email from us very soon to sign up for our client appreciation event. It'll be held at a very interesting location. We have a lot of things that our committee has planned together to appreciate you for the support for PropTilling Brothers over the years. So with that, I want to thank everybody for coming, whether you're online or with us live here. We've come to the end of today's live debate, BTO versus resale. Thank you very much. Give yourself a round of applause for being here. And also want to thank our back-end crew media team for covering us for tonight, the whole setup. This is our first time doing the live debate. Thank you for also being generous with us. If there's any hiccups, do give us feedbacks as well. And meantime, travel safe back home. And good night. Have a good weekend. Thank you.